Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
This is Understanding Data Centers, a special Your Money Matters, hosted by The Worker's Mic and sponsored by Megan Financial, Coker Insurance Group, and the Fight Back Fund. Now, here's Understanding Data Centers.
Welcome back to the special edition of Worker Wednesday on Your Money Matters, Understanding Data Centers. We have Mark Polis with us. Mark, you are the executive director, is that your title?
That is.
For the III FFC, which stands for?
Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Foundation for Fair Contracts.
What do you guys do for a living?
So we're the labor management group of the operating engineers, Local 150, so we interface like outside of collective bargaining, do a lot of regulatory work, legislative work in Springfield. We cover the northern 25 counties in the state of Illinois, so we deal with everything from DuPage County to Will County to Chicago and everything in between.
Got it. And then, you know, in terms of what we're talking about here today, you can speak to the legislative issues that are going on. So give us 2 seconds of where we were, not only as a state, but as a country, and where we sit today, and your thoughts as to why, Mark.
Yeah. So let's just talk about the last 5 years as a world.
Yeah.
Literally as
okay.
a world.
Yeah.
Very little, if any, regulation exists in the entire world as it relates to data centers.
Got it.
There's a number of things. Ireland, the EU more recently. You've got Australia, a couple other places that have regulated AI.
Yes.
Meaning like, you know, safety for children, those
sure.
types of things, online visits. Illinois just did a number of things this last session. But as it relates to data centers,
yeah.
there's literally no regulation whatsoever, including at the federal level in this country.
Okay. During the break, you mentioned Janesville, and I was reading about that. What's the story up there?
Yeah. So that's a pretty good example of like a microcosm of what people are dealing with in this country.
Janesville, Wisconsin,
yeah,
right?
Janesville, just over the border, yep. Right, hour and a half probably north of Chicago. You had, I believe it was either a GM or a Ford
yeah,
plant up there.
It was.
Major car manufacturing
yes.
Up there. In any event, that had closed down a number of years ago. They were up to like 13% unemployment up in Janesville.
Yeah.
And it took a number of years up there to like claw back and get those jobs by locating different manufacturing facilities and all those things in town. But the one thing that they had never had was a full cleanup, like a super site, right, from this old car manufacturing facility, until one day a data center developer came in and said, I'd like to take it over. I'd like to clean it all up, and I'd like to put a phased-in data center here. And that was met with some pretty major resistance. One of the things that Phil mentioned when we were off the air is a lot of times the folks that, you know, don't like these. As it turns out, one of the key facts that comes in is I live a mile away from where the data center is going to be located. So as it turns out,
right.
in Janesville, one of the outspoken folks is like a pastor up there.
Yes.
And as it turns out, he lives 1 mile from the actual location. So you find that a lot, right? It's folks that live.
So instead of living 1 mile from the dump that used to be the Jeep.
Yeah, the contaminated land.
Yeah, the guy's living 1 mile from a brand new yeah. you know, development data center that's probably going to increase his property
but
value.
But it was silent contaminated land.
That's a good point. Point,
yes.
Though, yes. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on.
Yeah. So you get a lot of that, and that's the Janesville is just an example of that. I mean,
yeah.
It's happening everywhere,
right?
It happened in Naperville here in Illinois.
Yeah.
It's happening in Aurora with a moratorium in Aurora. You've got even Texas. I mean, when you think about Governor Abbott in the state of Texas, at some point, the governor had gone to the industry and basically said, "We need a multi-million-dollar PR effort."
Well, Mark, you raise a good point, but I mean, we had the mayor of DeKalb on earlier in the program, and he was talking about, you know, these public hearings where you hear all these different sort of concerns about noise and, you know, disruption of your life if you're living nearby. And his take on it is since this Meta Center has been out there in DeKalb, he hasn't gotten any phone calls. So none of these sort of fears have really come to fruition at all.
Yeah, I think what you find is, what I know you find is when you think about the 5 or 6 big tops, the Microsofts and the,
yeah,
you know, the Bezos,
yep.
the Metas and that. I mean, they have been ahead of their time. This is one industry that, in my opinion, is well ahead of itself in terms of like self-regulation.
You're 100% right. It's so funny. When capital really needs to convince the public and do public good, boy, can it turn around very quickly
yes,
and take
yeah.
care of like, wait, what are your concerns? Oh, I'm going to take care of them. plus. You know what I mean?
Well, think about Amazon back in the day when people were pushing fight for 15 for minimum wage.
Yeah.
And then everybody figured out at Amazon nobody will work for less than 20. So they went out with a big campaign and they said, we're going to fight for 20. Everyone's going to get a minimum wage of $20 an hour. And it's like, they didn't do that because it felt good.
Right.
They did that because they couldn't find workers at 15 bucks.
That's exactly
so same thing with the data centers. I mean, these are trillions of dollars of investment, long-term investment into these models, right, that are supposed to literally change the destination of the human race. Literally.
Yeah.
That's what they're there to do. I give people like the simple example of saying like somebody that goes in today with a cancer diagnosis and goes in as a doctor to remove the cancer has about a 30% chance that they didn't get all the cancer. Then when they go back in, there's about a 30% chance that those 30% of people didn't get it again. I mean, AI literally in the next 24 months, robotics and these types of things, is going to stop the 30% of the 30%, and they're going to get 100%, 100% of the time. So like if you're somebody that's affected by that, I mean, that's a pretty major thing, right? That this is, and that's just one example. I mean, think of Meta glasses and somebody who is blind. You wear Meta glasses, and this thing, not in Illinois because we have a thing called the Biometric Privacy Act, so you can't. Many of these functions are actually turned off in the state of Illinois because of it, which is a major regulatory problem. But in other states, like people are now walking around where the Meta glasses are pointing out all the things for somebody that has.
Look out, it's a car.
Exactly. Yeah, a little more safe. A little more safe for those folks. So, those are just some examples of things that are like here and coming down the road, only going to get better exponentially by the day.
I think, though, that's where policy comes in, right? Because you have to make sure that, yeah, it's for the public good. Hopefully it is for the public good. And hopefully it's not simply where they're like, all right, we built all these things and we were pretty altruistic back then. Not anymore, right? We're taking all your jobs. Yeah. Because that's where a lot of this fear comes from. You know, we're building our demise, right? We're building this thing that's going to take our jobs. Why should we build them? Well, A, that train has left the station.
Correct.
Right? We're far beyond that conversation. They're getting built, and now it's time to put some guardrails around them. But in terms of, just talk real brief, Mark, jobs, right? We all know that this is, you know, construction equal good for jobs, right?
Yeah, so a couple of things. One, many folks think about like the construction jobs that go along with building these data centers. You know, they'll say at a public hearing, oh, well, it's this short-term gain, but we take all the pain, and sure, these folks, I mean, these are long-term construction jobs.
The mayor DeKalb said 5 years.
Years.
Yeah.
Years.
Right. Yeah. So when you think about someone's
and that's only
career,
phase one.
Yeah.
Right. It's 20% or more of your career is spent just on this job.
On one job.
That's unheard of.
And every construction job is temporary. A highway project doesn't go on unless you work at O'Hare. You could build a whole career out at O'Hare.
Yeah. But most operating engineers, local 150 operating engineers, work for multiple contractors on multiple job sites.
And that's across all trades, too.
Exactly. That's true.
Look, let's put it this way. Most jobs are temporary, no matter what. There's no more you go work for company A and you stay there for 35, 40 years and that's it. Most jobs are transient nowadays.
Yep.
So, that is what it is. But so these, obviously, they create construction jobs. And then, of course, the answer, the next logical question is, all right, when those are done, who's going to take care of the facility? How many jobs are those, adding up? And the mayor from DeKalb said, well, the phase one where we have 300 people that work there, making $80,000+ a year. He said, if we got a 100-person manufacturing factory here, we consider the massive
win. Yeah,
he'd
be doing backflips.
Right?
Yeah.
And so to have 300, people, working around the clock.
Highly paid.
And, skilled, probably, stationary engineers, electricians, right?
Yeah.
Carpenters, all the trades that are in there, right, that have learned this trade. I don't know. I see less of a downside the more I research this.
And when we talk about people bringing in new jobs, I mean, it's not like they're opening up a new Potbelly or something like that. They're bringing in new jobs that are starting around $85,000 a year. Those are the kinds of jobs that the people at these meetings should want to see created in their community because, Mark, I mean, part of what your organization does is fight to ensure that on any kind of construction projects that the deals are being done the right way. And that's not just for the workers, but for the communities too. But there's a benefit to keeping these jobs with local people and trickle down into the community.
For sure.
And providing opportunities for people from disadvantaged communities, right? Especially in Illinois. There's incentives to bringing people who've never been exposed to the trades, never been exposed to some of these high-paying jobs.
Well,
that's critical.
Number one, we need more construction workers, period.
Yeah.
Right? Number two, some of these companies have said, hey, we're going to partner with colleges, we're going to partner with unions, right? We're going to add more apprentices. And then now they have the skills. And you're right, Mark, even if it's like, okay, I worked here for 5 years. Well, great. For the next 15, 20, I can take the skills I just learned and go work elsewhere, whatever the next boom is, if you will.
Yeah.
Right? Thank you so much for coming in. It's always a pleasure. We appreciate your support, and it's always good to hear from you. And anything that we can do to sort of move this thing along, I think would be good for the working class. We'll be back with more of this special Worker Wednesday in a moment.